I'd like to read three passages of scripture. The first in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 22. And we read from verse 22. Isaiah 22 and verse 22. "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all the small vessels, as well the vessels of cups as all the vessels of flagons." Then in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 7, and verse 24. "For whoever therefore hears my words and does them, I will liken him to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And every one who hears these my words and does not do them, he shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and its fall was great." And finally, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 17, "Wherein God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, intervened by an oath, that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil, where Jesus is entered as forerunner for us, become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." I want to speak tonight about Jesus as a nail in a sure place, Jesus as the rock, and Jesus as the anchor. You will note that and understand that all these things speak of what is secure, what is firm, and what is unmovable. You don't need me to tell you that we're living in a world where everything is the opposite of what I've just spoken of. There's no stability. There's no surety. And there's no foundation in what man builds. And just want to bring before you tonight, dear friend, the excellencies and the glories of the theme of the glad tidings, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the answer to every situation, is the answer to every problem that is in the world today, and soon is going to be shown to a wondering universe of what this glorious person, who he is, and what he has accomplished. So how important it is for us to realise about this nail in a sure place. We know that when we're putting something up to hang it on, we know we have to have a nail fastened in a sure place, otherwise everything falls down. And the greatness of the Lord Jesus is what he has done, what he has accomplished. And where he is an absolute surety, and everything hangs upon Jesus. We sometimes sing in a hymn, "God is satisfied with Jesus." Can we say we are satisfied too? Because Jesus being in a nail in a sure place means that there is nothing immovable about what he has done. The Lord Jesus has secured everything for the pleasure of God. He has secured everything on a wonderful basis of what he accomplished in his work on the cross. He has been into death. He has come out again. He is on high. There is nothing that can remove these facts or change these facts. And dear friend, God is speaking to us tonight that we might find our full confiding trust in this glorious person. Amen. I want to bring before you the majesty and the glory and the greatness of it. Because It says here that the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. That means, students of scripture will know that this is quoted in Revelation 3 verse 7 in relation to Philadelphia. What it means is that he has authority. He has authority to open and to shut. Jesus tells us, John tells us in the Revelation, he says, when the Lord was speaking to John, he says, I fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages, and have the keys of death and Hades. Yes, friend, Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. All is in his authority, all is under his control. What a person Jesus is. And he's established the right to this because of what he is and what he has done. And dear friend, this is why we can preach the gospel tonight, because we can preach a person who has established everything to God's eternal satisfaction. What we have in this passage is just a little bit of the background, is really the judgment of God upon Israel as going away from himself, and the setting aside of another man called Shebna, and the bringing of this servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And the son of Hilkiah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God is going to establish that everything might be worked out in relation to Israel and to the establishment of their kingdom. But God has something greater in mind than just the establishment of Israel or of his kingdom. God has prepared that everything is hanging on who Jesus is and what he has done. And the basis of the gospel is that, dear friend, there is a means by you can be forgiven from your sins. We have to come to God's understanding of what we are before him as hell-deserving sinners. We have no right to live. And people are distressed tonight, distressed today, because the matter of this virus has brought before them the thought of death very much before them. Think of how they are daily portrayed, it's daily spoken of, the number of deaths, the number of infections, all these things in relation to man's world, concentrating on this matter of death. But friend, God wants you to think about what lies beyond death. You have to think of this, it's not just this life. If we have this life only, we're the miserable of all men. There is something beyond, dear friend. The believer has a hope outside of this world. And God wants you to have a hope outside of this world. He wants you to realize your mortality. That one day, sooner or later, you have to face this article of death. And you die because you are a sinner. The wages of sin is death. That is your full wages. Then you will earn your full wages. And there is no escaping this fact, but the act of favor. What God has done in the glad tidings has provided a savior for his creature. And tonight, the gospel goes out to whosoever will. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever your color, your race, your gender, it's to whosoever will, the gospel goes out. And it's to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved from your sins tonight, dear friend. You can have security as to your future in accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior. The one who's done everything that you might come into blessing. God does not want you to perish. He doesn't want you to die in your sins. He wants you to find forgiveness. He wants you to find peace. And he's established a basis whereby he can come out in blessing to you. And everything has been accomplished for God by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he's a nail in a sure place. Because it's a sure salvation, a certain salvation. And God wants you to come into that blessing, to find the peace that you can have in your heart. That's putting your faith and trust in his wonderful person. What a person we have to speak of in the gospel. We don't speak about politicians. We don't speak about ourselves. We don't speak about men. We speak about Jesus. That's what a person we have to speak of. The Son of God, the Son of Man. And he's come here on God's behalf. He's come here on your behalf too, my friend. And I present him tonight in the glad tidings that you might find real joy and peace in believing in the Lord Jesus. To realize what your need is and where you stand tonight. You know, we cannot afford to be lackadaisical about the gospel. It involves our eternal destiny and our future. And we can go out of this room tonight without having made a decision for Christ, and we might never have another opportunity of coming in again. You know, we never thought the gospel hall would be closed, did we, at all, until this last year. But one day, you know, the gospel will cease being preached in this world, being ceased preached from this room, and it will be too late. God has given each of us here and many others tonight an opportunity of coming into blessing and finding the surety that we can have in having our sins forgiven. And so this person here, he says what God is going to do. We didn't read the verses where it speaks about clothing with a robe, thy robe, and strengthening with thy girdle, and commit my government into his hand. But it says here, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. How sobering it is, the power and authority has been given to Jesus. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. There is a day when the glad tidings is going to cease, as I said, the door will be shut. There will be no more opportunity for you. I think of the opportunities that you've had in your life, that I've had in my life. Squandered opportunities. Opportunities when I could have confessed the name of Jesus as my Saviour. So as a reminder today, it's with the heart is believed and the mouth to confession. Have you made that confession, dear friend? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised Jesus from amongst the dead? You know, that is the most wonderful bit about the glad tidings. You know, Jesus has risen from the dead. Yes, he suffered on the cross. He suffered at the hands of God, and how terrible were those sufferings that Jesus endured. We cannot enter into what it meant for Jesus to be made sin. He who was sinless, he who was pure and holy, was made sin. How sobering that is to our hearts. The very thing that was obnoxious to him. He knew in his own spirit what was going to be the judgment as well. You think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he could say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He felt the full force of what it was going to be. His death was not, I care how I say it, wasn't an ordinary death, because it was a death that involved the suffering for sin. He had not sinned. He was perfect and holy. Death had no claim on Jesus. He laid down his life. He gave it up. And dear friend, he went into death and he bore the suffering at the hands of God for your sins and my sin, for the whole principle of sin. Because as we know, sin is not forgiven. Your sins can be forgiven. Sin is condemned. It is judged. And God has poured out that judgment on Jesus. And he bore in himself, in his body, our sins. Have you put your faith and trust in this person? Because this is the person who's been presented in the gospel. The Lord Jesus could say, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. Lifted up from the earth on that cross, you know. Suspended between the earth and heaven. A spectacle for the world, where men hurled their insults and cast their insults on him. And yet there he was, offering himself as a sacrifice to be the Saviour. The Saviour of the world, the Saviour for you, the Saviour for me. If you come by way of repentance and put your faith and trust in him. And you can be sure, it is a certain salvation. It is sure and stable. A nail fastened in a sure place. Oh, there are so many wobbly nails in the world tonight. These false religions, these false things that people put their hopes in. But Jesus is a nail in a sure place. And what it says here, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. He shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him. All the glory of his father's house, the offspring, the issue, the small vessels, as well as the vessels of cups, as all the vessels of flagons. Everything hangs upon this nail in a sure place. And he can bear it all because of who he is and what he has done. I repeat that, friend. It's who he is and what he has done that we can present such a glorious Saviour tonight. So what are you hanging on? What have you put in your hopes in? Are you waiting for your pension to mature? Many people have been putting their hopes that their pension might mature and enjoy a few years. Now all of a sudden everything in their life has been turned upside down. All the hopes and enjoyments they had, they can't travel anywhere, they can't do anything. All their hopes are dashed. But if your hope is in Christ, dear friend, your hope is secure and sure. Because as I said, a nail in a sure place. God has seen to it that Jesus has done everything to his eternal satisfaction. How we're reminded constantly in the gospel, he could say it is finished, completed to God's eternal satisfaction. The soldier piercing his side, his blood shed. And I thank God for that scripture that says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Because that's a righteous basis God has to forgive sin. He can forgive your sins because Jesus' blood was shed on that cross. Think of how Peter could say we've been redeemed not by corruptible things of silver and gold, but by precious blood as of a lamb without blemish. Oh, what a Saviour Jesus is. What a sacrifice it was. Think about flowing from his side. It was a gift, you know. He shed his blood. He shed his blood to save you. A basis whereby God can bless the sinner. So you see, the devil cannot point an accusing finger at God and say it wasn't a righteous basis. God has had a righteous basis whereby he can forgive sin. He doesn't just compromise. He doesn't brush things under the carpet. He's dealt with it, friend, and he's removed it from his sight in the finished work of Jesus. And you can point to the blood of Jesus tonight and say, this made my peace with God. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. We cannot forget the cross, the humiliation, the suffering, the curse. Curse is he that hangs upon the cross. Jesus was made a curse, dear friend. Have you accepted that work for yourself? Oh, God wants to bring you tonight to the point where you'll be brought to your knees and put your faith and trust in him. But the death is not the end. His dying was not the end. As I said, he came out of the grave. He's risen again and ascended. Think of what those Jews tried to do, you know. They tried to forget all mention of the resurrection. They remember what Jesus had said. They brought a stone and rolled it to the tomb. They fastened it with the soldiers. Think of that. And the lies that they told afterwards, that he hadn't risen from the dead. These men were corrupted, but the fact is Jesus came out of that tomb because it wasn't the stone that held him there. It wasn't the guards that kept him there. He came out because death could not hold him. He raised by the glory of the Father, sinless, completed work, friend, and he's now risen and ascended. You know, that is so important for us to lay hold of. We know a man who's out of death, he's on the other side of death. That great foe, you know, the king of terrors that stalks the world at the present time and stalks many today, the fear of it. But Jesus has removed the fear of death for the believer. So when the believer dies, he goes to be with the Lord. Falling asleep in Jesus is a precious expression. Think of those ones that we read of in Scripture. Think of Stephen. You know, it says of him, he fell asleep. You know, I love that. It's a beautiful expression. And for the believer in Jesus, death does not hold that fear for you, because Jesus has taken the sting of death and the fear of death away. Oh, friend, he's glorious. He's living, has ascended. So tonight, the question is, are you hanging on this nail that's in a sure place? I read at the foundation this scripture well known. The man that built his house upon the rock, the man that built his house upon the sand. Children used to sing a chorus when they were young about this. And when the rain came, did the house stand or did it fall? And the point I want to speak tonight is Jesus is the foundation. He is the foundation. What are you building on? When you build a house, when you build anything, you have to find a good foundation. And quite often you have to clear a lot of rubbish out of the way to get to a good foundation. And tonight, friend, God is appealing to you that you might be building your house upon the rock. Jesus here was, this is part of his Sermon on the Mount, I think, and he's just been speaking about those who professed. We live in a world of profession. There are many people who tell you tonight, I'm a Christian. They tell you I'm a Christian. They tell you what church they go to. But then the issue is, do they know the Lord Jesus personally? And that's the question I want to ask you tonight. It's not good enough just to say you're a Christian. What's the evidence of it? What's your basis for it? Because it says in the previous section, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They will demand that the Lord will open to them. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Oh, how solemn it is to think that someone could be sitting in this room tonight, has an opportunity of turning to the Lord, and thinks they are a believer, but hasn't had that vital transaction with the Lord Jesus himself. Have you had that transaction, friend? As I say, what are you building on? Is it a sure foundation, or is it something built, or are you building on the sand? In life, what are we doing? What are we building on? And so he says here, whoever hears these my words and does them. So it's not just a question of hearing, it's doing. You've got to respond to the words of Jesus. He's expecting you to do something about it. I will liken him to a man who built his house upon the rock, on a firm foundation. As I say, Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. See what the psalmist says in Psalm 62. Upon God alone doth my soul rest peacefully. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my high fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. There the psalmist, you know, he had an impression of his trust and his faith in God, something that couldn't be moved. You know, when storms come and I'm walking up at the coast in Port Nocky, there's great rocks there and you see the seas pounding in. The rocks, they stand firm and the sea is dashed upon it. And dear friend, this is what God wants you to do in the gospel, to be sure of your salvation. So when the storms of life come upon it, you have a firm foundation. You know what you're trusting in. You're not fearful. You're being wise. You're prudent. The prudent man builds his house upon the rock. The rains came down and the streams came and the winds blew and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. There are many people building their houses upon the sands around. The false religions that we speak of, those that think that you can earn your salvation, maybe you can do something to appease God, you're not living a bad life, you're doing your best, and you hope you'll get to heaven in the end because you've led a good life. These religions that are man-centered, that think there's something that you can do to improve man. God has finished with the first order of man. He's out of sight. He's gone in death, buried. God has one man before him tonight, and that's Jesus. And Jesus is in glory. He's in heaven. And he's waiting to save and to bless men tonight as they turn to him. Oh, think, dear hearer, of what you're building on, what you're building your life on. Are you building it on the rock, or is it on the sand? So when the storms come, it'll be all blown away. What will you say in that day when you come before the judgment throne? What can you cling to? You can cling to the finished work of Jesus. You can speak of Jesus, the rock of ages, the rock of my salvation. May you be in the good and the gain of it tonight, dear hearer. May you come to the Lord Jesus, know what it is to be saved, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As I said at the start, God has wonderful blessings for men in the gospel. It's not just a question of your guilt going and matter of your sins being settled. He wants to bring you into life, into blessings, eternal blessings. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in mind for those that trust in him. He wants to bless you, bring you all the blessings of heaven into your life. And you can have it tonight. And you can have it through the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a gift he is. He is a gift. And he's a divine person. And he resides in the believer's heart. I think I need to remember that, you know, that he is a divine person and he dwells in my heart. To think of that, the presence of God in our hearts, in our lives, taking his abode in us, someone who will be with us forever. And when we're taken to glory, he will remain with us. It's a wonderful thing, the work of the Spirit in a soul. And he wants to bring you into real living conditions to be associated with Christ in glory. Let us think about these things. And if we're not sure we have the gift of the Spirit, we can ask and God will freely give. The Father delights to give. He's a giving God, a giving Father. He's given his Son. He's given the Spirit. He gives eternal life. The blessings that God has in mind, tremendous. You think people would be queuing up at the door for it, wouldn't you? Oh, this heart, a stubborn man who doesn't want to. His pride keeps him from coming to God. He thinks he can work out his own way, but he will find it's something that's built upon the sand. Make sure, dear friend, that your foundation is on the rock that is Jesus. And then I just finally read of the anchor. Jesus as the anchor. You see, here Paul is writing to these Hebrew Christians, and they were in danger of going back, giving up. Anybody here feel like giving up? Been a believer on the path many years, you feel like giving up, the conditions got too bad for you, too much for you. Oh friend, don't turn back. Come to this anchor, realize this anchor. See, thought of the anchor is interesting, isn't it? I don't think boats use them now, but it's all done electronically. But you used to see them in the storms, put their anchor in the bay. The anchor would go down and hold firm and fast. And while the storm raged around them and swung the boat around, the anchor stayed firm. You know, that's like us, dear friends, as believers in Jesus. If we have an anchor, we have an anchor, it doesn't go down, it goes upwards. That's where Jesus is. And as the storms of life come upon us, they might blow us around, but dear friends, we're held secure because we're connected to the blessed man who's in the glory. Is that where we really find our resources and our hope and our life? Are we like these Hebrew Christians that they slipped and then they fell away and then they turned back? Are you in danger of turning back? Don't give up, dear friend. God's thoughts, his purposes are going through. The apostle or the writer here, he's really trying to encourage these saints. He says, we have a strong encouragement. I would like to strongly encourage everyone here tonight as to where your resources, where your life is, and where you're at. Are you clinging to this anchor, holding on to this anchor? Don't let go of the chain of the anchor, dear friend. It's secure and firm. We have an anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil where Jesus is entered as forerunner for us. Where is Jesus tonight? He's in heaven. He's gone there as a forerunner. If he's gone as a forerunner, that means there's going to be many more with him. Is that where your place is, friend? Are you going to be with Christ? Are you looking forward to that? Are you sure about that? God wants to give you stability in your heart and your soul tonight. Dear fellow believer, I speak to us as believers because we need this. We need this encouragement. We need this strengthening in the present time. As things around us seem to be completely breaking up and cracking up, we can have our foundations and we can have our anchor sure in this blessed person who's gone in before us. You see, there's no doubt as to what God has accomplished. There's no doubt as to the place that Jesus has. There's no doubt that he's coming again. There's no doubt he's going to call us to be with himself. Tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself, the very person who we put our trust in, he's the one that's going to come for us, and he's the one that's going to claim us and take us to be with himself. Isn't it wonderful what interest Jesus has in his own, you know? Have you any interest in Jesus? Have you any interest in his things? What is your life at the present time? Is it occupied in the things of our Lord Jesus? Or is it occupied in your own things? We need to challenge our hearts as to these things, especially in the days that we're in. Because Satan wants to snatch these things away from you. He wants to snatch away the word. And the sower went out to sow, you know. The birds came down, snatched away the word. Now that's what Satan wants to do tonight. He wants to take it away so you don't enter into these things that God has in mind for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you enjoyment and happiness, and you can be sure of these things and have stability in your life and in your soul. And so I commend these three thoughts to you afresh tonight. Jesus is the nail in a sure place. Jesus is the rock, the foundation, and Jesus as the anchor for the soul. May you cling to these things, cling to these divine and precious truths. Don't let them go. Don't let Jesus go. Don't drive him out of your life. You know how easy it is. I speak of this from experience. How easy it is for us to fall away. We may not feel like praying. Don't feel like reading our Bibles. Don't think our prayers are getting anywhere. We're not getting any answers. And so we start to give up. Well, that's what the apostles say. Don't turn back. Have a strong encouragement. Lay hold of that anchor. Sure for your soul. And be waiting and watching for the Lord to return. He's coming for us very soon. I suppose he's been coming for us as believers. He's coming back to this earth to reign as a king as well. Amen. It's been established. That's what that passage was in Isaiah. The establishment of the king in all his righteousness and his throne. We need to lay hold of this. Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. You know, at the present time, they're talking about climate change and all these issues. A man thinks he has the answer to them. But he doesn't, you know. Everything's going to be put right when Jesus comes. He's going to sort out all these issues of the climate. He's going to sort out everything because of who he is and what he's done. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God's man. He's not man's man, not Satan's man. He's God's man. There's much to take place before he comes to establish his kingdom here. But one thing we can say, victory is assured. Jesus will reign. He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everyone will acknowledge Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There's no doubt about it. These are scriptures. They're sure. They're firm. Lay hold of it, dear friend. Lay hold of it in your soul tonight. And know what it is to have peace in your own heart as trusting and believing in Jesus and his finished work.